Can you hear me? All right, good. So this is a joint work with Michael George, Vikram, Shin Chi, Lucas Wei, and our advisor, Andrew Myers at Cornell. The web has made decentralized information sharing possible. This has changed the way we use computers and is great for fun applications like social networking. But the web has limitations for integration information from multiple administrative domains. This is especially true for applications that involve lives or money, things like medicine, finance, government, and the military. These sorts of applications require that data be accessed securely and that data be consistent as it is read and updated. So the question here is there a principled way to build federated applications while guaranteeing security and consistency? Our answer to this is a system in a language called Fabric. Fabric is a decentralized system for securely sharing information and computation. All information in Fabric looks like an ordinary program object, and objects can refer to each other through references. Any object can be referenced uniformly from anywhere, and references can not only cross nodes, but they can also cross trust domains. So for example, we can increment a field on a remote object as if it were an ordinary program level object. The Fabric compiler and runtime will enforce the security and consistency of this update despite partial trust between the two nodes. So let's look at an application where Fabric might help. Suppose Alice has a GP who keeps track of her medical record and enforces her privacy. Now suppose one day Alice sees a disembodied cat-like smile and decides that she needs to see a psychiatrist. Today, the psychiatrist will receive a paper copy of Alice's medical record from her GP. As the psychiatrist updates this record, the two copies of the record will diverge, and this can lead to bad medical decisions. With Fabric, we can have a single logical copy of the record that is updated securely by the two doctors, and this record will be kept in sync automatically. To protect Alice's privacy, the record will be composed of several objects, some of which are kept by the GP and some by the psychiatrist. Now, suppose the psychiatrist writes Alice a prescription that she wants to fill. Today, Alice will give her pharmacist a piece of paper, and the pharmacist has no easy way of checking that the prescription is valid or that Alice isn't taking any medications that might conflict. With Fabric, she can initiate a distributed transaction to order her medication from the pharmacist. The pharmacist can then directly access the psychiatrist's part of the medical record to verify that the prescription exists. She can also access the GP's part of the record to check whether Alice is taking any conflicting medications. If everything checks out, then the pharmacist can give Alice her medication, record in the psychiatrist's records that the prescription has been filled, and update the inventory. To make this work, we need to solve two problems: security and consistency. For security, we need to make sure that the pharmacist only reads and updates the appropriate parts of the medical record. Because the psychiatrist doesn't fully trust the pharmacist to directly update the medical record, part of the transaction needs to run on the psychiatrist's machine. So we need to be able to support secure distributed computations. For consistency, we need to make sure that Alice doesn't obtain her medication without also marking that the prescription has been filled and updating the inventory. We also need to make sure that the pharmacist's update to the record doesn't conflict with concurrent accesses by Alice's doctors. So now that I've sketched how this example might work in Fabric, let's look at how we might implement this in the Fabric language. Here we are implementing a method that is executed by the pharmacist when Alice orders her medication. This method will take in the two parts of Alice's medical record as well as the prescription. So the first thing we do is check that the prescription is valid and check that Alice isn't taking any conflicting medications. And if these two checks succeed, then we can make a remote call to mark that the prescription has been filled. We can then update the inventory and fill the prescription. To make all this atomic, we put everything in an atomic block. Notice that this is a high-level language. This is basically Java extended with three things: remote calls, nested transactions, and label annotations for security. Now, the label annotations here have been elided, but I'm going to talk about them in a few minutes. Notice also that all objects are accessed uniformly, regardless of whether they are local or remote. Objects that are needed are automatically brought to the current node, so this gives us our first system requirement on Fabric. Fabric needs to support secure distributed data shipping. Notice that remote calls are explicit, and this makes it different from typical middleware systems like Java RMI. Remote calls create another challenge. Because they can cross trust domains, we need to make sure that they are executed securely and that only authorized callers can call them. So this gives us our second requirement, secure remote calls. Transactions create yet another challenge. Because we can have a remote call in a transaction can not only span multiple nodes, but also multiple trust domains. So this gives us our third requirement, we need to be able to support secure federated transactions. So I've brought up the issue of security. Let's look at what it means for a Fabric program to be secure. Fabric is a decentralized system. Anyone can join. So what sorts of security guarantees can we provide in such a system? Fabric is built around the principle that you can't be hurt by what you don't trust. So to implement this, we needed a notion of you and a notion of trust. Principles give us the notion of you, and the X for a relation gives us the notion of trust. So in Fabric, users, nodes, groups, and roles are represented by principles, and we can establish trust relationships between these principles through the X for a relationship. For example, if Bob trusts Alice, then he can declare that Alice acts for Bob, and this generates a principle hierarchy. In our pharmacy example, Alice can declare that she trusts the pharmacist to be her pharmacist by establishing an acts for relationship. This is possible in Fabric because principles are just objects of a particular principle class. This class has a method delegates to that will tell you whether a principle is trusted by this principle. It also has another method, addDelegatesTo, that will establish new trust relationships. And the compiler and runtime will ensure that that the caller of this method will have the appropriate authority to establish the trust relationship. Information security concerns are expressed in Fabric using labels from the decentralized label model. Labels in Fabric specify security policies that are to be enforced on data. And there are two types of policies, confidentiality policies and integrity policies. Data that is labeled with the policy Alice right arrow Bob says that the principal Alice permits the principal Bob to read the data. The integrity policy Alice left arrow Bob states that Alice is permitting Bob to write to that data. So, for example, in the prescription class, the psychiatrist is permitting Alice's pharmacists to read the drug and dosage information, but only the psychiatrist is allowed to update this information. The compiler checks that the program code satisfies these security requirements, and the runtime system enforces these policies through runtime mechanisms. So this gives us a fourth requirement on the runtime system. It needs to be able to enforce security labels. So far I've told you about Fabric's language. It's basically Java extended with remote calls, nested transactions, and security annotations. These abstractions impose implementation requirements on the system. And these features interact, so part of the challenge for us was figuring out how to provide all these features in the same system. No prior system supports all these features. So let's look at some of the new techniques that we've used to implement these features. Fabric's runtime system is a decentralized platform for secure, consistent sharing of information and computation. Nodes can join Fabric freely, and there is no central control over security. Fabric nodes are principals, and they form the root of trust for Fabric. For authentication, every node has an associated X509 certificate that binds its DNS host name to its principal object. This is the Fabric architecture. It has three parts: storage nodes, dissemination nodes, and worker nodes. Storage nodes are responsible for maintaining the security, consistency, and persistence of the objects that they store. Every object in Fabric specifies its own security policy, and this is enforced by the store. For high availability, dissemination nodes act as read-only caches and store signed, encrypted copies of objects. They participate in a peer-to-peer distribution network. Worker nodes is where all the computation happens in Fabric. They read from storage nodes or dissemination nodes, perform computations on objects, possibly involving federated transactions, and write directly back to the stores. For performance, workers cache the objects that they use. To provide the illusion of access to the entire Fabric object graph, objects are fetched as pointers are followed out of the object cache. Stores enforce the security policies on their objects, and in particular, workers are only allowed to read the object if it's trusted to enforce the confidentiality policy on that object, and similarly for writes and integrity. So this covers two of our system requirements. Next, I will talk about secure remote calls and supporting federated transactions. Remote calls in Fabric are made secure through a combination of compile time and runtime checks. Arguments to the remote call might contain private data, and more subtly, the very fact that the remote call is being made might reveal private information. So the caller needs to check that the callee is trusted to see this information. We also need to make sure that the callee has enough integrity to correctly execute the remote call. And these checks are done statically at compile time. On the other hand, because remote calls can come from anyone at any time, the callee needs to make checks at runtime. In particular, it needs to check three things about the caller. The caller needs to have sufficient authority to make the call. It needs to be trusted enough not to tamper with the method arguments. And it needs to be trusted to see the result of the call. So with remote calls, transactions can span multiple workers and cross trust domains. This gives us security and implementation challenges. Because no single node can be trusted to hold the entire transaction log, the transaction log is actually a distributed data structure. In our pharmacy example, the pharmacist makes a remote call to the psychiatrist to mark that the prescription has been filled. Because the pharmacist is not trusted to log this update, the transaction log actually spans these two nodes. Objects updated in a transaction might be needed at another node. Fabric also has mechanisms to support secure, transparent propagation of object updates between workers in a transaction. Fabric has many features that interact with each other. To support these features, there are many other aspects of the system that I just don't have time to talk about. Many of these deal with the interaction of security with consistency and the dissemination layer. And you can read about all of this in our paper. We've implemented a Fabric prototype in Java and the Fabric language. In all, it's about 35,000 lines of code. The compiler implements a source-to-source translation of Fabric into Java, and this compiler is a 15,000 line extension to the GIF compiler. The dissemination layer is implemented as a 1,500 line extension to FreePastry, and the store uses Berkeley database as a backing store. Fabric makes everything look like ordinary Java objects. So there's a lot that's hidden from the programmer. In fact, there's overhead on object accesses at each worker. We need to do runtime label checking. We need to log transaction. We need to do logging of reads and writes for transactions. And there's cache management, which introduces indirection just because of the way the JVM works. And there's also transaction commit overheads, which results in overhead at the store for reads and commits. To evaluate the impact of this overhead, we ported a non-trivial web application to Fabric. Specifically, we ported a course management system that has been in use at Cornell for about 5 years. This is a nice test application because there are two prior implementations. The reference implementation was written in J2EE and Enterprise Java Beans 2.0. It's about 54,000 lines and includes handwritten SQL queries. The reference implementation uses Oracle database as a backing store. There's a second implementation written in Hilda, which is a high-level language for data-driven web applications. This implementation also uses Oracle as a backing store and actually performs better than the reference implementation. We compared the performance of these two implementations with the Fabric implementation, and we ran our tests on two nodes, one node for the app server, another for the backing store. This graph compares the request throughput for three transactions, two read-intensive transactions, and one write-intensive transactions. For this web application, we get better performance, and this suggests that the runtime overhead is reasonable. You might be surprised that we perform so much better on some of these transactions, and we believe the reason for this is that the application server is able to cache fine-grained objects, and therefore it doesn't need to contact the store in the middle of the transaction. The language integration in Fabric makes it easy to replicate app servers, so we also ran scalability tests. With multiple app servers running, hitting the same store, we see reasonable speed up with strong consistency. And this shows that we've offloaded work from the store onto the workers. There's been a lot of related work. This table categorizes this related work and shows how Fabric is different. The first column gives the category headings. The second column gives some example systems in that category. And the last column shows what Fabric adds on top of these systems. In a nutshell, Fabric is the first system to combine information flow security with remote calls and transactions in a decentralized system. So to summarize, Fabric is a platform for secure and consistent federated sharing. We have a prototype implementation, and it's the first system to offer a high-level language that integrates information flow security, transactions, and distributed computation. It provides transparent data shipping and remote calls while enforcing secure information flow, and we've developed new techniques for supporting secure federated transactions. Thank you. As opposed to implementing what?
Why did you choose to implement this in a new language as opposed to middleware solution?
Okay. So having a language lets us specify security policies directly in that language. And we can leverage these security policies by pushing them all the way down through the system, all the way down to the storage layer. So we have we have consistent enforcement of these security policies all the way down through the system. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the last part of that. Could you repeat, please?
Okay, let's do it.
All right, sure. Right, so you can get more fine-grained access control through just a more fine-grained principal hierarchy. So you can imagine establishing principals that are allowed to only see, for example, the psychiatrist part of the record, and principals that are allowed to see the GP's part of the record. So trust actually, so yes, it's true that the actual relationship is transitive. That's right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, Eddie Kohler from UCLA. I had a high-level question, which was, what parts of your system do you find most surprisingly useful? And was there any part of your system that you thought would be really useful that turned out to be less so?
What part of the system is useful? all of it? I mean, it's...
So there was no part that you implemented on a whim and found a use for it that was much bigger than you expected?
I don't think we really implemented anything on a whim, really.